Hey friends, Kudwano here. Shades and Layers would like to hear more from you on how our content can serve you better. If you haven't already, please take a moment to fill in our brief survey on the episodes you've heard so far. You will find the link to the survey in the show notes. Thanks again for your continued support. And now for this week's episode. Hello and welcome to Shades and Layers. I'm Kutlwano Skosana Richie, your host, and this is episode 5 of season 4. My guest today is Taryn Lewis, one half of the founding team at the soap making and skincare brand Herb and Eden. Taryn and her husband, Quinton Lewis, founded their brand about 7 years ago in Atlanta with the aim of building a household name and leaving a legacy for generations to come. When it all started, Taryn was studying agriculture and doing her internship at a local urban farm. At that time, she had bohemian lifestyle dreams where she would live in a commune and contribute to the community with a useful skill that also allowed her to be independent and self-sufficient. For her, this turned out to be soap making, and that's where she focused her attention. She quickly immersed herself in the farmer's market culture, and while selling her soaps, her life partner made her aware that, hey, this work has potential to serve even more people. And that is when they started building their all-natural and sustainable brand. Some of the knowledge you'll walk away with includes how to build a community around your brand, the challenges and joys of scaling a business, financing a small business, as well as the pros and cons of working with your life partner. It was such a great pleasure to be in conversation with Taryn Lewis and to hear about her big dreams for Urban Eden. So here we go with some inspiration for your business dreams.
If you talk about what I do just in my life, like in my purpose, and I've learned a lot along this journey. So plenty of time, but my whole MO just in anything that I do is for me. It's always for me. It's always for me to live a better life, or just once I know better, I do better. So even prior to me like making natural soap, I just was, you know, getting more so into my diet, bettering my diet, bettering the things that I put on my skin. I wanted to learn a skill. So even when I started making soap, it was about learning a skill that would allow me to be self-sustainable. Mm-hmm. I was always like community minded. So like I was a super big hippie when I first started the business, and I wanted to live on a commune and all these different things. So I was like, if I live on a commune in a community, I want to have a very valuable skill. Sure. And I had my inspiration from it was my farming internship that I was doing. So we were interning at a local farm. And so that was like my inspiration when I started to learn about plants. And I knew that I wanted to work with plants. And
So you were doing an agriculture education, or what kind of studying were you doing when you were interning?
Yes, that's essentially what it was. It was agriculture. I was learning about permaculture, vermiculture, Hugo culture. We learned about different sets within agriculture, within farming, urban farming. Mm.
And how did you stumble upon soap making?
So yeah, when I was thinking about a skill that I wanted to do, I also love to read. So I went to Barnes and Noble and picked up a craft book and was just going through the craft book, trying to pick any craft that I would want to do. And for some reason, soap making was in the book and it just spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And so I ordered all the ingredients that it took to make that soap, and I made it.
Oh, what kind of soap did you first make?
The first type of soap that I ever made was a lavender soap. And so that was just like an eye-opening thing for me as well, because just growing up, I had used, grew up just using whatever they had in the store. And I never remember, you know, herbs and essential oils being a part of the bar soaps that I was using in the store prior to. So when that connection, it made a connection pretty much in my mind once I made that soap, like, hold on, you could use lavender herbs and lavender essential oils. So you could use herbs and essential oils in your soaps and take a shower every day.
Hold on. Revelation. And how did you go about deepening your knowledge about this craft?
The same way I learned about it was the same way I went about deepening my knowledge. It was through reading books. And then, of course, when you read, of course, you got to apply the application. And so that I applied everything that I had been reading about and just constantly making soap, constantly and consistently making soap throughout the years since I learned how to make it. It was just like, you know, I had honed in on wanting to perfect my craft, wanting to just dive deeper and learn more about soap making, different types of soaps that I can make, essential oils. So I really had to get a lot of research, not just about the ingredients, but also about various skin conditions. Cause I had people coming to me saying, oh, I deal with this dry skin, eczema, acne, psoriasis, hyperpigmentation, and just trying to look for ingredients that could help with those various conditions, but also wanting to know more about those things. So when people came to me, I had a better understanding of what they were dealing with.
Right. How then did you eventually think, oh, this could be a business?
Well, honestly, I was just starting it off as a hobby. And then my husband, he's already like entrepreneur minded. Mm-hmm. He already had a business. And I was like selling jewelry prior to then, like here and there. But when I started making soap and he saw like the response that I got on social media, it wasn't like really big or anything, but it were a lot of people that were interested. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you should start a business doing this. And I was looking at him like, huh? Like, cause that's not, even though I wanted to learn this skill, I don't know. For some reason, like that didn't click as far as like creating a business doing this. And he was like, and I was like, well, what does that, you know, look like? I was asking him, well, what does that look like if I start a business? And the first batch of soap that I made was a melting pour. So you pretty much buy a soap base, you melt it down and you add the herbs and essential oils to it. And so he was like, you need to learn how to make the soap from scratch. And I was like, mm-hmm. I need to learn how to make the soap from scratch because I'm going to want to control all of the ingredients that are in there. And if I'm going to, I don't know, I felt like if it was something I was going to go into, I just wanted to make sure that I controlled everything from A to
right.
Z.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that control, talk to me about your sourcing, the balance between production, selling, and, you know, never running out of stock.
That has been a journey throughout the years. So in the beginning, within the first couple of years, when we first started making soap, we would do pre-orders because the soap has this curing time of like 4 to 6 weeks. We would do pre-orders. And then, you know, we wanted to get out of doing pre-orders so much. We wanted to have soaps available. So we had to take into consideration the curing time and making sure that we were making soap in enough time that we didn't necessarily run out and have to do pre-orders. So when at first it was just me and my husband, it was me for a minute. And then my husband came along in the business once it started to pick up a little bit more. And so we had two people that were able to contribute and make soap constantly and just be able to ramp up our batches. And then we got a 4,000 bar order in about 2017. Whoa. And that hyped up that increased my production scale. So prior to that, we were making about, we were doing seven 5 pound molds. So I was doing about 35 pounds of soap prior to that. And then when we got that 4,000 bar order, I only had 6 weeks to make 4,000 bars. And within my whole business, I had never made 4,000 bars in general. So, you know, I had to work on, we made a bunch more molds. I believe we did about 30 something molds.
Right.
So that really ramped up and I was making soap day and night just to meet this quota. And so that helped us to increase production. And then a couple of years after that, we got into, we hired our first employee in about 2019. So we were able mm-hmm. to bring in somebody else to help with fulfillment and production. And then fast forward to today, we have 30 employees. So I have a whole production team.
Whoa, yeah.
So it ramps up. I have a whole production team of people. I have a production team for all of our other products that are made, like our toners, body oils, deodorants, mm-hmm. body scrubs, different mm-hmm. things that we branched off into. And then I have a production team for my soap as well. And a lot of those are guys because it's hot over there and it's a lot more heavier lifting. So we have
right.
a big paint.
Yeah.
to meet that. But we still make them in our individual 5-pound mold. So that's a part of how we maintain the quality and making sure that everything is still handmade and in small batches, essentially. It's in a it's a big batch, small batches.
Yeah. I mean, the most challenging thing for businesses, startups particularly, is the growth phase, you know, when you have to scale. How did you manage to balance, you know, between demand and supply without, you know, losing money or, you know, all the challenges that come with that phase?
You can't dodge the challenges that come with it. That's a fact. It really came to a head last year with the pandemic, when it kind of got, you know, in the midst of everybody just, you know, wanting to wash their hands more. That was the main message of the pandemic, wash your hands. And we make soap. And we also make soap with essential oils like tea tree that are antibacterial. So a lot of people are looking for hand sanitizers and they're looking for soap. So our demand had actually become much greater than our supply. And it was, we felt like we were drowning. Like, and that's how we ended up going from, like, you know, having 3 employees to going to 30 immediately, because we needed more hands on deck to help meet that demand. And then we also had to invest into the proper equipment, into getting bigger equipment. And it was just such a challenge to meet the demand, also dealing with customers on the other end who were upset because we were unable to meet the demand in the time that they were used to prior to. You know, we just put a lot of people into, honestly, us building our team, getting more people in production, fulfillment, processing, and then also bringing on a customer service rep helped tremendously, because it was really hard for, you know, it being me and Quentin dealing with all the customers and then, of course, helping to make all the product and then, of course, doing all the marketing. And so putting people into those various spaces that could help us and kind of help take our hands or our eyes off of fully centering on all of these different things, like stretching ourselves thin, essentially.
Yeah. And I mean, are you happy with this trajectory? Because you started out wanting to do something that would make you self-sufficient, and now you've become a full-blown commercial entity.
I know, it's crazy. Started out in the kitchen with a hobby, and then got a full-blown business.
Yep.
Now, I'm amazed, because like I said, I started off in my apartment, and then to have a fully functioning, you know, warehouse. And honestly, one of the biggest things that comes to me is I'll go read, like, we run ads consistently on like Facebook and Instagram. And one of the things that's so gratifying for me is going and reading the comments underneath Facebook and seeing, like, literally hundreds of comments of people saying that they love the soap. Like, people I don't know. It branched off from me, you know, sharing my soap on my social media and my family and friends saying that they wanted to try it, to now so many tons of people utilizing my soap and giving me great reviews about how they love it. And this is the only soap that they will use. Like, that's just even going back to that question that you asked earlier about the purpose, and the purpose of my work is that it's become beyond me. You know, it's like, I see how this has been something that's actually like life-changing for so many others, even people who probably didn't use natural soap before. And then, you know, they try out our natural soap and feel like this is something that they love. My family members, this is the only soap that they use. I didn't grow up using this soap. So for my parents to use this type of soap is truly amazing.
Yeah. So what do you think happened to change people's minds about, you know, buying something that's ready-made on the shelf at their local drugstore and actually making the effort to, you know, come to your store or order online something that is, specialized, handmade? You know, what's happened to the mindset?
I think more people are just becoming how I was several years ago when I started the business of wanting to eat better, wanting to use better things on my skin. A lot more consumers are just becoming more informed about what they put in their bodies and what they put on their bodies. So people are actively searching for better ingredients and better products. And I'm even starting to see that, like, now a lot of these bigger brands that a lot of us grew up on, now they're starting to market themselves as plant-based. They're having plant-based products and they use essential oil. So they're seeing that the market is definitely shifting towards that way. And they're trying to, you know, meet that demand of what everyone's looking for. People are looking for a better way, things that are more natural.
This is Shades and Layers with Kulturnus Kosana Ritchie. My guest today is Taryn Lewis, co-founder of the soap making and skincare brand Urban Eden. Their handmade products have become something of a cult in the USA, and they have built a very strong community of super fans around the brand. And up next, you will hear about how they won the hearts of their customer base. And Taryn will also speak about the art of scaling and what it's been like so far to have their very own brick and mortar store. If you found it on a certain way or certain practices, growth certainly changes them. So what's your thinking in terms of that? Because there's going to be more and more demand for products like yours.
Yeah, I think as far as like the growth is inevitable. It's uncomfortable. But one thing that's always been big to me is just stepping up and meeting any challenges. So that's what the consistent, you know, day-to-day consists of, is this thing is going to continue to grow. And how do we continue to meet that? You know, that's as far as like my husband on his end, he does a lot of the operations within the business. And he also does like social media marketing. So just making sure that our marketing is attention grabbing, making sure that we continue to provide the same great product. And as we continue to grow, I still want everything to be made in as small a batches as possible, but I want real people to be behind the production of the products. I want it to be, it'll be a balance though, because as you continue to grow, you know, you can only depend on people for so much. So it's just like a matter of like, you know, we still need that equipment, those tanks, bigger machines, but also just having real hands still, you know, function with the product and be involved in the production. So it's a balance of, to me, it's a balance of both, of making sure that real people are behind it, making sure that machines are incorporated, and then us just staying like two steps ahead and continuing to change. Like I said, it's uncomfortable, but we have to continue to change in order to grow.
Yeah. And adapt. Yeah. And I see that you share your making process a lot. Why is that important to you?
Well, that's my husband's doing again. He's always been very big. So when I was learning how to make soap, he was learning about internet marketing at the same time. And so he came on to the business a couple of years, probably a year and a half into the business. And he came on as marketing. And his biggest thing was always to document the process. So even when times were not even good, sometimes times would be bad, I would have an attitude or I'd be tired, and he would still turn the camera on and late at night, you know, turn it on live. We're going to show this. He's like, we're going to show the good times and the bad times. So, you know, his mindset of just always showing that. And that's been a part of our journey, literally documenting the process. We had a situation where when we were doing that 4,000 bar order, we had just been showing live every day us making soap. And so at the end of the 6 weeks, we realized we didn't have like the money for shipping. We didn't have any extra money for shipping whatsoever. So, you know, he came up with a really quick idea, like, let's do a GoFundMe. And, you know, we had expected to raise about like $3,000. We wanted to do that over a week span, but we were able to do that in 2 days because we had been documenting the journey and all these people knew exactly what we were doing. So when we asked the question, they didn't hesitate to help.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So they felt involved in the process.
Yes, that's what it's about, making sure that our community, because that's the reason why we've grown so much, is because of community support. So definitely making sure that people feel involved in the process, and also us being transparent with everything that we do.
Speaking of funding, was GoFundMe your first fundraising event, or did you do more? You know, how have you financed the business?
That was one of the ways that we did for that particular project. In the beginning, we were very grassroots. And then throughout the years, like we are with Shopify. So like Shopify offers a capital program. There's a couple of like other capital programs, PayPal. So they give you like working capital. Mm-hmm. That's been a big way. And then of course, reinvesting whatever money that we make back into the company. But we've tried to look for just anybody that's offering like capital money. That's what we've done. We haven't done any grants or anything. So mm-hmm. it's just been through like capital that they mm-hmm. give out capital mm-hmm. loans.
Yeah. And how has it been running your own store, your own actual brick and mortar store?
Man, it's been a challenge. So we have our store and then we also have a warehouse. Well, we have two warehouses, but they're like right next to each other. So it's a combination. And it's been a challenge, like, you know, just a matter of us having to learn that balance of maintaining the store inventory, managing people and making sure that people are motivated. But, you know, overall having the store has been great. Just as far as like having that brick and mortar place where people can come through and come experience the soaps. But prior to that, we were doing farmers markets. And one of the questions that people would ask at the farmers market so much was, do you have a store or can we find you anywhere? And of course we would always be like, you know, we have the farmers market. So we saw the need for a brick and mortar store. And that brick and mortar store is where we initially used to make soap out of first and foremost. That's what it was in the beginning. So it has a special place in our heart because, you know, it was a small space where we were producing what we're producing now in the warehouse.
Mm. And you've kept it as a rental or do you own property now?
We rent actually both of the spots still because even when we started with the store, it was like temporary. I mean, the store is not like the location is cool. It was really just the start for us. And of course we were in like a lease contract. So we're still maintaining that for right now. So no bought properties as of yet, just renting.
Mm. Do you still get to do the stuff that you enjoy as a business owner? Do you still make soap or have you just been drawn so much into the business?
Well, my role in the company is research and development, research and product development. So I do make soap when it comes down to like making newer products. Mm-hmm. Like we have some exclusive soaps dropping at the end of this month. And I've just go in there and I'll show the team, you know, this is how it's supposed to look. And I'll do an initial run through and make it for them. And then, of course, I go in there occasionally and help make products. But my part, for the most part, is furthering my education and, you know, just doing better research and improving the products that we have now and also just creating more products.
Mm. Great. And then just a few last things. You know, what do people love about your products?
I think people love that they're good quality products. And I think they love us being on social media too, just showing the journey and being a part of our journey. And I don't know, I once had this guy, he was like this older guy that we were on a TV series set. And this guy buys the soap. And then he calls me like a couple of weeks later. He's like, I need more of that soap. He said, this is the best soap that I've ever used in my life. And I was sitting up there like, I'm telling you, this is an older guy. So he had to be in his 50s. I'm like, sir, out of all your 50s, 60 years. he called about this soap and he was like, I need more. He was talking about the tea tree and turmeric, which is our number one best-selling soap. But he was like, I need more of this. And I don't know if it's the love that goes into it because there are so many soap makers, you know, these days. So I don't know if it's the love that goes into it. I don't know. It's my sauce. It's my sauce.
Mm.
My sauce.
Nice, nice. And your packaging also, I really love that. So, you know, how have you gone about coming up with that packaging and also keeping it earth friendly?
So the guy who actually came up with the look for our brand, he actually does a lot of our packaging. So I'll tell him what I'm looking for. Of course, you know, just like using paper boxes. And before we would use, what did we use before? The cigar band label. So you were able to like still smell the soap and experience the soap with it still being wrapped up and giving you some information about what was in the soap. Mm-hmm. And now we use those soap boxes, which the soap boxes have just become a little bit better for transportation, like the transportation of the soap and maintaining the integrity of the soap. And he pretty much, I told him what I wanted. He's helped a lot with the colors. He knows that everything is kind of like very like earthy, earth tone, for the most part. And we do use some other colors, which just remind me of like the chakras. So it's just a matter of like various colors that I feel like reflect the ingredients that are in that soap or that the star ingredients in the soap.
What would you say your business philosophy is?
I think my business philosophy, it's not long at all. It's honestly, it's one word. It's authenticity. That's the business philosophy. Because authenticity can be simple. It's like it is what it is. It's how I am is how I am. It's how I'm showing up. It's knowing that everything that's in it is true. It's true and it's real. And that it's always made with like, you know, good vibes. So it's just, or shoot. And you know that sometimes authenticity isn't always positivity as well. So, you know, it's being real. It's a matter of these are real people that have always been behind this product. And we make this for real people. You know, the soaps, they use essential oils in them, and essential oils literally have the power to stimulate or relax the mind and change the mood. So it's authenticity of like, you know, coming home after a long day that could have been hard, a trying day, and taking a shower with the soap that's made with like a lavender essential oil and relaxing and feeling good, understanding that there's balance in between both. Our logo is the flower of life. So the flower of life reminds me of this big macrocosm. And then there's these little microcosms that make everything work. So it's like within those small circles, there's that authenticity that makes up this one big, everybody has their own individual things going on, but it makes up this one big macrocosm, this one big organism that works, that comes together.
So I really, really like the holistic nature of Taryn's perspective on her business and the mindfulness with which Urban Eden approach their community impact. You'll hear more about that in a few moments. You'll also hear about Taryn's childhood days and also the best advice she's ever received. Right now, let's find out why she was an, quote, aspiring hippie, end quote, at the start of her entrepreneurial journey. So how did you end up being a hippie?
I mean, me becoming a hippie was something that transformed. I mean, I guess I wasn't always like that. I might have always deep down had it in me. I don't know. Yeah. My name means earth, and I'm an earth sign, and I have like a earthy vibes. I've always been like that. But growing up, my parents were definitely not like that whatsoever. So I didn't have any sense of what that felt like until I got into college. And then I think even in the beginning of college, I wasn't still, you know, really into that. Really gardening, getting into that gardening internship really kind of made me more of a hippie, because of course, you know, you're digging in dirt and you're playing with the earth all day. So it's not like the cleanest job at all. Neither is making soap, ironically, but it's not the cleanest job. But I would go to like, when we were there, we would go to different conferences. I went to like a herbal conference there with Rosemary Gladstar, and, you know, stayed out in a tent, and really working with the earth kind of made me more of like a hippie. And then I just felt like it was natural, and that's just what I flowed into.
Yeah. What are your top three memories from childhood?
Top three memories. I think one of my top memories is definitely living in Florida. That was like, I went to 9 different elementary schools. You're not even in elementary school for 9 years. So I guess that's a memory too, is going to 9 different elementary schools and not really having like a stable place. Like my dad was in the military, but my mom just constantly loved to move. So like every 2 years or every year or every semester, it seemed like I was going somewhere. So in a sense, like, half of me was like, oh, I don't have any stability. I wish I could keep all my same friends. But then on the other half, it was like, I made a lot of friends. I made a lot of friends in my childhood.
Yeah.
And then another one of my top memories, like I was saying before, was living in Florida. That was one of my most favorite times because I felt like we would go to like, we went to Disney World often. We went to like all the theme parks that were down there often. And it was just a very lively place to live. And then another one of my memories would have to be really like, I don't know, for me, being a big sister was, you know, I have younger siblings. Two of them specifically, we grew up in the house together, but they're 10 and 7 years younger than me. So, you know, that was, and I'm to this day, I guess that's still a big part of one of my jobs, big sister. So being a big sister to them and, you know, growing up with them and my mom and my dad. So that was, I mean, just those overall memories that we made together.
Just advice you've received and still live by today.
So is this pertaining to business or in life?
Both.
I think that one of the greatest things, one of the greatest pieces of advice, something that was from the beginning, is pretty much to stay in my lane. To stay in my lane as far as like, you know, you don't have to focus on what everybody else has going on. It's a matter of just staying in your lane and doing what feels right to you and focusing on what you have going on so that you can continue to let that grow and prosper and, you know, shine, the light can shine as bright as it needs to. I think like staying in my lane has just been, that's what's kept me. I don't know. When I think of like staying in my lane, I think about like headlights, just having headlights on and just focused and not looking to the left and to the right and seeing what everybody else is doing. Cause sometimes you can get caught up in that. And of course we're in the realm of social media where you can see what everyone else is doing. But, and that has been something that has been applied to my business and to my life because it's helped me to not be in a rush as well, because who am I, you know, rushing for? Am I rushing to prove something to these other people? Like I have nothing to prove other than to myself. So what I've proved and what I've proven to myself, like I said earlier, has been just absolutely amazing. So staying in my life has been great advice.
Yeah. How did you meet your husband?
We met at Georgia State. So we're actually 10 days apart. Our birthdays, you know, our birthdays just came up, but the first year that we went to Georgia State, they actually had like these freshman dorms and it was their first year of opening the freshman dorms and they were co-ed. And so they had like I think like a mingling type of party where, you know, you meet everybody that's in the building. And we met during that time and we just became like really, really good friends. So we were like 17 at the time. We were both getting ready to turn 18 since we're so close to age. And we were just really good friends for a couple of years. And then, you know, I've always liked him. Like, strangely, when I first met him, there was this voice. I will never forget this voice. It just was like, this is going to be your husband. And I just tucked that in the back of my mind and kept that in mind. And look what happened.
Wonderful. And, you know, your relationship, of course, has transformed over the years. And now you're business partners. What's been, you know, the pros and cons of working together?
The cons. The cons are that, I mean, and there's growth in the cons, but the cons are that we're both Virgos, so we bump heads a lot. We have a lot of similarities. And sometimes, you know, it can be a little suffocating sometimes when you work and live, you know, with people in not creating those boundaries or, you know, everything can kind of get blurred in some sense and taking things from work into the home and vice versa. So we've really had to work on the balance of that. One of the pros, though, is that we did establish roles for what we do. And I think that, like, for me, I really kind of like, you know, it would be like a competition type of thing for me at some point. It'd be like, oh, he's doing better than me, or he knows much more in this business or in this certain aspect of the business than I do. And me feeling like I need to like step it up. So that has been a plus in a sense as far as like, you know, he pushes me and I think we push each other to do better. But then, you know, I dealt with that insecurity and I really had to learn to tone that down and not be insecure because this is not my competitor. This is a person who has the same goal. And so really like our goals being aligned has been something that's been significant to both of us. Our goals align. And so that there's ease in the fact that our goals align and that I'm willing to, you know, follow his lead and he followed, you know, you how you switch the role sometimes, like you follow the lead in various in our various roles.
Mm. Why is there a South African flag in your brand video?
Oh, because the people who we interned with, not the guy. So it's a couple, actually, a husband and a wife. And the wife is from South Africa. And so she has the South African flag hung up at their at the farm.
I was wondering if you were my long lost relatives.
Is that where you're from?
I'm from South Africa. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, wow, sweet. I love you guys' voice. But yes, that's where she's from. So she might be a long lost relative.
You never know.
Never know at all.
Yeah. What's your dream for Urban Eden?
Ooh, my dream has always been the same for Urban Eden. It's to be a household name, to just... Like I said, it was so crazy because I've always said I wanted to be a household name. And then when I see so many people using it in their house, I'm like, this is beyond me. But that is like, you know how you put something out there in the universe and then you just like, I didn't know it was going to look like this.
Right.
That's always been the dream, is to be a household name. I want to be able to go to anybody's house or, you know, they know the name, just like we know a lot of these big brands that are on the shelf now. Like I want Urban Eden to be known like that.
Yeah.
For generations.
Yeah. So it's a legacy company.
Yes, it is.
Mm. And if you had to write a memoir, what would it be called and why?
I don't know. Maybe I don't know for sure. But what's coming to my mind is that maybe it would be called, I don't know what it would be called. What's coming to my mind is like the Garden of Eden, or it might be just called like Urban Eden, our story, because I do want to write a book at some point, just because of the challenges that we've dealt with and just to see the success that we've seen has just been absolutely amazing. But the Garden of Eden comes to mind because Urban Eden, that's when, even when, I mean, the business has had a couple of different names and I had to pivot and change the name at some point, because of, for domain reasons, and and Urban Eden came about, and, I knew that I always wanted to say urban in the beginning because I like that play on words and it uses the word herb, and, Eden, I was appreciative of, because according to the story of creation, you know, herbs were established like on the fourth day in the Garden of Eden. So the Garden of Eden is so deep and metaphysical. To me, the story of creation is very metaphysical. So it would be something along those lines.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that you want people to know about you?
No, I think I said authenticity. Just know that, you know, we're real people, and I mean, Urban Eden soap is dope. It's a really good soap.
Yeah, I can't wait to sample some. Yeah.
Yes, and we're offering, so that's another thing that I guess I could share on here, but we offer a free sampler pack because we're so confident in how awesome the soaps are. We offer a free sample pack that comes with four samplers. And of course, we have so many other products, but the soap is just our foundational product. That's our mainstay.
Yeah. When you say free, you just pay for shipping.
Yes. Got to mention that. Yes. Pay for the shipping, but the sampler soaps are free in themselves.
Okay. Just to be clear.
Definitely got to be clear on that, because we had to redo our videos and everything. We need to make sure that people know to pay for shipping.
Great. Thank you so much. Where can people get hold of you, buy your soaps online?
Our website is urbaneden.com, urbaneden.com. And we're also on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Both of those pages are Urban Eden. And then we also have a YouTube channel that's Urban Eden. And that way you can find out a lot about, you can see visually a lot of our journey that we've been through over the years, and just any exciting things that we talk about. I also have like our Urban Eden After Hours series that I do on there, where I just kind of dive deeper into the ingredients that we use. Even just recently this past summer, I was just going and connecting with other herbalists and people who are in this line of work that are makers and farmers, and just talking to them a little bit more about some of the ingredients that we use. So
I really love the public service element to your guys' work. Honestly, it's really inspiring.
Thank you.
That is all from Shades and Layers this time around. This episode was produced and edited by me, Kutlwano Skhosana-Ritchie. As always, thank you for listening. And if you like what you heard, please share it with a friend and follow us on Instagram and Facebook, where we go by at Shades and Layers Podcast. One word. Until next time, please do take good care. Hey friends, Kutlwano here. Shades and Layers would like to hear more from you on how our content can serve you better. If you haven't already, please take a moment to fill in our brief survey on the episodes you've heard so far. You will find the link to the survey in the show notes. Thanks again for your continued support.